What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another fantastic episode of Clocks Running, podcast for everything flag football officials. I'm your host, Jacob.
And I'm Ant.
What's going on, man?
Hey, what's up? How are you?
I'm great, man. How are you?
Hey, you know, I'm good. Just it's springtime, spring break. What's the cool thing to do in North Carolina during spring break?
Well, churning butter would normally be on the list for people with not electricity. However, we do have electricity now. We have motor cars now. We have gasoline now. We have gas-powered things. You know, we like to just hang out, man. You know, nice springtime weather. I've been going for walks, you know, trying to lose a few LBs. Not trying to look, you know, like actually look like Shrek, even though he's my guy. So, you know, what about in Ohio? Is the snow melted yet?
Snow's gone. It's warming up. We got, you know, 50s, 60s happening here and there. The sun is out. So, yeah, all the ice is melted on the lake. So, beach weather is almost here.
You guys call it the beach?
I mean, there is a beach.
But, you know, the beach is at the ocean.
No, come on. You can go to a beach at a lake.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. What else would you call it?
That's not how that works. That's just the side of the lake.
It's sand. It's not rock.
It's not real sand. They don't use real sand at lakes. Stop it.
Where do they get all the sand from?
I don't know. It must have, like, gone to the beach.
You think they brought it from the Appalachians?
That's not a real place, so they couldn't have brought it from there. It's like next thing you're going to tell me is that you go take a trip to Imagination Land. Imagination. Yeah, dude, that's not a real place.
Is that the theme park that like has shut down? I think it's in somewhere in like Tennessee or something like that. It has all the signs for it, but you look over and it's like the whole amusement park shut down.
Are you talking about Imagination Land?
No, I don't know what that is.
Yes,
Santa Land.
There's a place in there's a place in Tennessee called Santa Land. It's either in Tennessee or North Carolina. It's in the mountains somewhere.
Okay.
It was a whole theme park. It's a ghost town. Like, no joke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
You're talking about Dollywood, and Dollywood is far from closed. Dollywood is a pristine, pristine park.
You know, Dolly Parton's been married, like, for, like, 60 years.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? We're a family-friendly show. I'm not going to go down that path.
Is she from North Carolina?
I don't know. I think she's from, like, Kentucky or Tennessee.
Who's the most famous person from North Carolina?
In what regard?
I don't know. Good, bad? What?
Okay, well, I mean, you know, you got Clay Aiken. He's, you know, singer. Big time, big deal. Right. Let's see. You got there's a lot of famous people from North Carolina, and I just cannot think of anybody right now.
Clay Aiken, who won American Idol.
No, he lost American Idol. He lost to Ruben Studdard that year.
Oh, so the second year.
Yeah, he lost to Ruben Studdard. Fantasia's from North Carolina.
Of course she is. Yeah, who's Fantasia?
She won American Idol.
is that your show? You've never told me.
Just as a kid, my mom watched it a lot, so you know we kind of got stuck watching it. Who else is famous from North Carolina? Luke Combs went to college in North Carolina.
Oh, nice!
Yeah.
All right. Speaking of college, you got your Duke hoodie on, right? There we go.
Yeah.
You know, it's a really big gamble to pick Duke to win it all. You know,
yeah, you could have been some goofball and picked St. John's, but you know, fortunately, hey, nobody did that, right?
Sometimes you got to go with the coach. You know, they got a history, but yeah, that was rough. Do you always pick Duke to win every single year, though?
Yeah, absolutely. You got to ride with your team. Okay. Good, bad,
right, fair
good.
Enough.
You got to ride with your guys. And I always felt like, look, you know, Duke's always been one of these teams for me that I've always felt like no matter, like, you know, there's been a couple of years, this is one of them, I think, where they, I feel like so there's something special. But, you know, I also feel like every year, no matter what situation they're in, they can win. I don't ever feel like they're out of the fight. So I'm always going to ride with my guys.
Okay, cool. Well, fair enough. Who do they got tonight?
They got Arizona. They're going after another ghost of Duke pass with Caleb Love. Caleb Love, for all the people who don't know their college basketball history, was the guy who put the dagger in Duke in the Final Four, Coach K's last game he coached.
Ooh.
Yeah. That's rough. So he's 27 years old playing college basketball still. So, you know, he might be a factor. They beat Arizona already earlier this year by double digit margin. So we're just, you know, we're going to be hopeful that they do it again, you know, tonight, you know, at 10 o'clock Eastern.
Nice. Well, I don't want you to miss the game. So let's keep it moving. What do we got on deck first?
Man, we got so much fun stuff tonight. And, you know, I realized that, you know, Thursday night apparently has become a popular flag football podcast night. But, you know, I want to go ahead and just lay it out there that we're not competing with anybody. So, fortunately, we're able just to roll right through. We're going to do things a little bit differently. We got our double D doozy tonight. We're going to start off with that. That's going to be a great one. Here, there's a taser involved. We've got another international official who's going to come on and kind of give us the rundown of how things are going in her country. And then, you know, we're going to wrap up and kind of get ready for Vegas in a couple weeks.
Sounds good to me. Well, let's bring on one half of the double D. What is it? I don't remember.
It's the double D doozy. Speaking of Dolly Parton.
What's up? What's up? I'm back.
Hey. I want to point out, Dean, this is 3 weeks in a row you've been on the show.
I know. I like it. I like it. I love it.
Is there like the rest of your body somewhere? All I see is your
head. Yeah, it's there. It's there. I'm on my phone. So, and I'm not in Nancy's living room tonight. So I made that. I'm all the way back. So, yeah.
No hot pockets tonight, huh?
No hot pockets. Going back to what you were saying with famous people from North Carolina. Jacob, do you like country music?
Yeah.
So how do you not know Luke Combs is from North Carolina?
What did I just say? I said he went to college here. He went to Appalachian State.
Nice.
Appalachian State.
I thought it was Appalachian.
Appalachian. Sounds moist. Man,
take him off the screen. If this is what we're going to do, let's just get to the guest and keep this thing moving.
I just – it's crazy to me because, honestly, like, Dean has – I mean, talk about skating on thin ice. I feel like the last 3 months, that's all Dean's been doing on a daily basis. And somehow he ends up on the show 3 weeks in a row.
You know, he's rocking and rolling.
Yeah,
I guess. Yeah. So, and you know, do you have a bottle of wine tonight or was that just last week?
No, the bottle of wine is there, but it's not open. So we're taking it easy tonight.
We're taking it easy. I haven't uncorked.
I'm gonna open it though for the March Madness as soon as I'm done because there's a lot of games tonight. I'm looking forward to it. Go Duke!
There we go. Okay, cool. Well, let's get into flag football because I know that this is a flag football podcast. So people don't come on here to hear us say Appalachian wrong.
Dean, please give us your doozy, my friend. Give us the story of a wild experience that you've had.
All right, so I got a really good one for y'all tonight. So early in my officiating career, in about 2013, Jacob, 2013.
How old are you right now?
I'm 30. So
30. So you were 18, 19.
Yes, 19. Okay. I was 19. So
couldn't rent a car. Keep going.
Couldn't rent a car, but I could drink. What happened? Yeah, 18 in the Cayman Islands is drinking age. Anyway, it was a game. It was a heavy rivalry game between the Burger King Panthers and the West Bay Hellcats, and it is a bitter, bitter rivalry. Like it is, when they play, it's like you need to have your best on the game because it normally gets ugly. So there was one. It was a primetime game, 5 p.m. game, and one of the Burger King players had run in the end zone for a touchdown, and afterwards he elbowed a Hellcats player in the throat. And as soon as that happened, like, that was a cue. I swear that was a cue, because as soon as that happened, benches cleared. They started pulling jerseys over. They started fighting. Full on punches thrown. I mean, this goes from the field, spreads into the off the turf, onto the gravel, into the car park. People are trying to jump through the fence to punch people. I don't know how that works. Good luck with that. And people were climbing fences, and it was absolutely nuts. All of a sudden, police cars roll up. There's about 4 squad cars. We have our tactical unit that responded to it. And they were separating, pulling people. And then the one cop drew his taser and actually tasered someone at the field, which was wild because I've never seen that happen before. Obviously, ball game was called right away. We're not going any further with this. Like, obviously, you can't continue the game. You would think. There I am just standing there, and all I did was I tried to throw my flags. Didn't help. I'd thrown my flag, my hat, my beanbag. There was nothing more that I could throw. Obviously, didn't matter at that point because it was out of our hands.
They're throwing punches. You're throwing penalty flags. They are not the same.
Yep. Actually, and you know what? I actually felt like throwing a couple punches myself, but I was like, nah, but we'll let that be. You know, so it literally took about 3 hours to resolve. And it was just an absolute mess. The police were there. People were in handcuffs. I was like, this is wild. And I said to myself, I'm like, is this what I signed up for? Am I going to have to be dealing with this on a yearly basis? And it, obviously, a few hours later, like the next day, everything's back to normal. The people that were fighting were like, oh, I love you, bro. You're good. You're this, you're that. And I'm like, you literally try to punch him less than 24 hours ago, and now you're back to friends. I'm like, this doesn't make sense. And yeah, it was wild. So that was probably the craziest experience I've ever had.
All right, Dean, I got 2 questions for you.
Yep.
So first question is, at Burger King, do you order the cheese and add it onto your burger, or do you bring your own? And follow up, chicken fries, fact or fiction?
Ooh, okay. Chicken fries, fact. And I have, because the chicken fries, the chicken fries are the best. No, I ain't nobody got time to bring their own cheese, bro. Just get the cheese, add it on. It's an extra 50 cents, whatever. Just do it. I don't want to have to get my burger and then have to do work. Like, nah.
He's really upset about that. I have a very...
That's why I did it on purpose.
I have a very unimportant question, Dean. What is a car park?
What do you mean? It's a parking lot. Like, where the car is parked.
Car what?
Car park.
Car park is like, it's a parking lot. I'm surprised you missed that one, Jacob. Good job picking that up. It's like, we say car park. It's a parking lot, but it's like, it's a car park because it's where you park your car. So we call it car park.
So is there like a car park? The car park?
No.
For your car?
No.
It's like the movie Cars. It's like where they play at the park.
No, it's not.
So you call, hey, you, dude, you are 100% Mater.
I'm Mater.
Okay, I'm Mater. This is a really important question. In the movie Cars, all of those characters, when they're not feeling good, do they go to the mechanic or the doctor?
That's so dumb. Of course, they go to the doctor.
they're cars.
Okay,
they go to the mechanic.
Obviously.
When you fix a broken car, you go. When you have a broken car, you go to the mechanic. Just because they're talking.
But the doctor, their doctor is a mechanic. That's fine.
Oh, so you're saying it's the same person?
Yeah, duh.
Just okay, because my, hey.
That's like going to the Cayman Islands and telling them that their windscreens are windshield wipers. Or windshield. What?
Oh man!
Yeah. So
he won't even bring his own cheese to Burger King.
Windshield, windscreen, windshield, same thing.
Yeah. So I don't know if I've ever shared this with you, Dean, but I had a strategy when I was running like leagues and tournaments in Colorado, that anytime, like, because I would be a ref, but then also like I was running the show. So if a fight broke out on either one of the fields that I had going on, I would have to be the one that would like get in the middle of it. So my strategy was always to go to the person that was like the aggressor, and I would just bear hug them, and I would make really uncomfortable eye contact with them until they calmed down. And it always worked.
Wow. Like,
so that's, I mean, I never had a situation where I got hit with a punch or bad happened to me. What?
Can't relate.
Well, that's because, bro, the problem is you had Chun have your back in the situation. Like,
yeah, Chun did nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Well, he punched Jacob in the back. That's what he did. So, anyway, Dean, I appreciate you sharing your doozy. Is there anything else you want to add? I don't know if there's anything else you want to talk about. I know you got games coming up this weekend, or
yeah, it should be interesting tomorrow night. Obviously last week was an absolute shit show, so we're gonna try and avoid that this week and try to have a nice smooth sailing Friday night and a peaceful Friday night. No unsportsmanlike, no personal fouls, no yelling, no arguing, just in and out. Let's go and just gonna do that. I have a random question for both of you though.
Yeah, what's up?
Both Jacob and Ant, favorite fast food place? Go. Ant?
Chick-fil-A. Oh, my name's Ant.
what? Man, that's hard. In-N-Out.
All right. So no one's going to say Chipotle. All right, cool. We're good.
Chipotle's
that's
terrible.
That's not fast food, bro.
That's fake Mexican food, bro.
I'm sorry, wait. You just insulted me. No, it is. It technically is fast food, right? Because they have multiple branches.
Like, do they have a drive-thru?
No.
No.
So it's not
fast. You got to have a drive-thru.
Got to have a drive-thru.
Is that the qualifying criteria? All right.
Absolutely.
Noted. Okay. Yeah. But, Jacob, I'm hurt that you said Chipotle is horrible. Like that, I don't.
Yeah, it's terrible, bro.
That hurts, Jacob.
It's a bowl full of beans with a side of tortilla chips.
It's I like Chipotle. Qdoba is the other one. Do you have that out there, Dean, or just Chipotle?
Nope. That's why when I come to whenever I go to the States, when I'm in these tournaments, when I'm visiting the States, I go absolutely berserk at Chipotle. I spend like $45 at Chipotle every single time.
Have you ever had Whataburger?
I have not. We don't. Again, we don't have that. The only thing we have is Burger King, and we have a Popeyes, KFC. We don't have McDonald's. We don't have.
How do you not have McDonald's?
Because they're banned from, like, they're not. Yeah, it's just a long story. Like, they're not banned, but like there's a place called McDonald's, which is like a chicken place. And because of that, there's like rights to a franchise that there can't be another place. It's a long story. So there's just
Chick-fil-A?
No, we don't have Chick-fil-A either.
Yeah, the Cayman Islands are not my pleasure.
Do you guys use the metric system?
No.
Really?
We use feet, yards, all the good stuff. Yep, and our speed limits are in miles per hour, not kilometers.
But so they're in miles per hour, but you drive on the wrong side of the road.
Yeah, I know, right? And the fastest
where's the steering wheel?
On the right.
This doesn't make any sense to me.
Makes pesos.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And the fastest road the fastest you can go on the island, like the highest speed limit's 50 miles an hour. That's it.
Well, I mean, you have 4 miles of road to drive. That makes sense.
No.
Three stoplights, two Qdobas, and a partridge in a pear tree.
No, it's not that bad. It's actually a lot of road to drive.
Wow. So, a lot of roads to drive. What's a lot five?
An hour. I told you from one end of the island to the other is like an hour and a half.
Dean, have you ever seen Oppenheimer?
No, I have not.
Okay.
Why?
I haven't seen it either.
Okay.
I'm not movies for me. I'll watch if I want, but I'm not. I have ADHD, so for me to sit still in a theater for 3 hours is near impossible.
You should see Wicked.
No.
All right, Dean, we got to wrap it up. We have another guest.
No worries.
Soon, so. Dean, I appreciate you, brother.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
See you, man.
See you soon. All right. Well, fair enough. That was a doozy. He did deliver on that. You, now I know what happened at East Coast Nationals last year, but that wasn't someone getting tased. So have you experienced someone getting tased on a football field?
Not on a football field, but I mean, I've seen it in real life.
Yeah, of course. That's like a Friday night in high school, right? Yeah. You're like,
I've been threatened with one.
Yeah. All right, cool. Well, without further ado, let's bring on our next guest.
Go ahead, you introduce her.
All right. We gotta, you know, show support and love to international officials. And the last time she was on, I think she was a little too humble. She is a very experienced, top level official. Mara, welcome to the show.
Thank you, and thank you, and hi to everyone. And I'm practicing my English, so be patient with me if I don't say the right words at the time. And I'm happy to be back here.
Yeah, thank you for coming on. don't worry, I can't speak English well either. So
we're still learning.
So like I said, you were pretty humble. You didn't say a lot about, you know, your ref experience, but I've been noticing some of the things that are posted on Instagram, and you have a lot of ref experience. How long have you been officiating?
I've been officiating for more than 12 years. So yeah, I have a lot of experience.
Did you get into it because you were a player first, and that's and it just was kind of a natural progression for you, or what drew you to officiating?
I was a player at flag football. I have been playing for 15 years now. No, 14. And after 2 years of being playing flag football, the tournament where I was playing had this issue with the refs at that time. So they asked us to be part of it, and they started to giving us the lectures and everything to learn how to officiate a game. And that's how I started. And I was like pretty shy about it in my life. I was a really shy person. But being a referee actually made me build up my character and be this person that I am right now. So it's something that I am grateful for to this job, to this duty, to be the judge of a game. And it just was the life-changing thing that happened to me. And after the pandemic, the COVID 2020, I started to be more prepared in the theoretical part, and I was certificated by the FMFA, the Federation over here in Mexico, and I was pre-selected as a official to the Israel World Games in 2021 for my test. And also, I was pre-selected as a player before it was. I thought it was going to be like Denmark or no. I thought it was Denmark, and then it was for a few moments Spain, and then it ended up being Israel. But as a player, I only went to one tryout And I didn't continue the process because it was too expensive. I didn't have time. I didn't have the physical preparation. So I dropped it. And when I was certificated as an official, the FMFA, the Federation, the Mexican Federation, talked to me and told me that I was pre-selected as an official. And I didn't even know that that could be possible, you know? But after that, I started to be more serious about this subject. So I started to pay more attention about this job.
Yeah, Jacob, you have questions?
Just to backtrack just a little bit. So what position did you play when you started playing flag football?
I was in bench. Nah, I'm kidding.
That's my position.
No, I was a cheerleader. Yeah. No, yeah. Being serious, I was a quarterback. I thought I was okay. Quarterback at the time. I also played as a safety in the defensive part. But I think in flag football, all players should be versatile. I don't know, versatile. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep, so, absolutely.
I think that's kind of my profile as a player. So I was a really versatile. How do you say it?
versatile. You're right. Yeah, you're
versatile
right.
Player, and I could be a wide receiver. I could be the thing that I'm not. It's a blitzer, a rusher. I'm not. Rusher, yeah, I'm not that quick. So
right.
Yeah.
So playing quarterback and playing safety, do you feel like that helped you see the field better as an official? Kind of knowing your cues are to look? Yeah.
Yeah. I think that most players that are quarterbacks and also safeties is because you have this vision of the game. You can see what everything that is happening in front of you. So you see all the players doing their routes, doing the thing that they have to do, so you can have a better sight of what's happening on the field. So as safety, you can do that as well. And I think that I was a better safety than I was a quarterback. So as a defender, I understood better the game. I understood better what the offense was trying to do. So that helped me as an official. It helped me a lot to read the plays before they happen, the situations on the field, how to manage a team, how to manage people on the field, off the field. So it helped me a lot.
Yeah. So just kind of like going back to what you're saying is like the pre-selection for Israel. So you didn't go to Israel though. It was.
It was like, I didn't even know that there was a Mexican Federation, you know? I didn't even know that. I saw a post on Facebook about the certification, and I took it because I wanted to be prepared for the time that we went back on the fields. So when I took the test, I didn't even know that it was a test involved. So when I took the test, I was one of the highest, the results?
Score. Yeah.
That was the thing that put me on the pre-selection team or pre-selection list. And when I started going to the trainings of the flag football selection of Mexico selection, I didn't even had one game officiating IFA. I have been officiating games of other rules or other rule books, so I was like in blank in that area. I knew the theoretical part, but I haven't practiced it, so it was like all new to me. And after that, I had like a year and a half with the hand of the Uriel Espinosa, that was the official coordinator at the time. And going out to different tournaments over Mexico, like in San Luis Potosí, at Chihuahua, at so many parts of Mexico. And I started to learn IFA on the field, and I started to try to share it and to teach it in my leagues, the leagues that I worked in at Morelos at that time, in my other city where I was born. And I tried to apply it to them, because I knew that that was like the route to take towards the international part. So I tried to teach that, to put some of the rules on the rule book, to understand it also. So that was like the first part to this journey.
Have you traveled to other countries yet to officiate?
To officiate, no. I went to Colombia last, I think it was in 2023, and I went as a player, but I had had my stuff. If it was necessary, I had them. It wasn't necessary, so I didn't officiate any game. I was going to go to this year Latinos Bowl, but it was too expensive, so I couldn't had that chance. But I think it's all working out in the way that I will be able to do that in the future years. And I don't know, I'm also trying to get my visa to go to the US, because I was going to go to this year USA Championship, but I couldn't have my visa on time.
We're gonna make that work for sure.
Is there one, like, what would be the top if you could go anywhere in the world to officiate? Where would you want to go?
I don't know. I think right now I'm pretty ambitious about what I'm doing. So I want to go like to every part of the world. I want to go and meet Spain. I want to know Denmark. I want to go to Denmark. It's going to be a clinic on Copenhagen.
Mm-hmm.
This year.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, I know it's expensive, but maybe not this year, but next I'm going to be there. I want to know other people of other countries and try to understand this better. I'm learning the IFAB rulebook in English. I want to learn it in Portuguese, because there's one of our colleagues that does the kind of the same thing that I do, but in Brazil. So I want to know the rule book in Portuguese, so I can go over there at a time and maybe say the calls and say all the calls and in Portuguese also. And it's a language that is similar to Spanish, so I think it's not that hard to understand it, to learn it. I want to go to France. I want to go to Japan. I want to know like all worldwide.
Me too.
let's go.
So speaking of IFAB, now I it seems like, I mean, we only get to see, you know, kind of what we see on social media as far as games in other countries. It does seem like in Mexico the majority of tournaments our IFAB, maybe they change things a little bit to kind of adjust. Like IFAB doesn't normally have co-ed, right? And so they add co-ed to, you know, just kind of get, you know, more teams signed up. But now I saw this video, and I think I posted a clip of it. Is there a form of, you know, in Mexico where the rush in non-contact goes right off the line?
Right up the line as
line of scrimmage.
Yeah, they rush. There's not a gap. They don't have like 5 or 7 yards. That they go right from the line of scrimmage.
There's a rule book that the rush is like 2 yards only 2 yards from the line of scrimmage, because the quarterback can't run, so the quarterback can't be 5 yards near to the center, so to the snapper. So that gap, it's like 7 yards same. So I don't know. That's kind of the thing that is managing over here in some versatile rule book. Yeah.
Oh, okay. And it's 5, right? It's not 7.
It's 5 yards in between the line of scrimmage and the quarterback.
No, I mean like 5 players, five on five.
5 player, it's 7 on 7, I think.
Oh, okay, yeah. That makes more sense. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, 5 on 5, it's not. No, I think 5 on 5, maybe 5 yards is the shortest that the rush can be. Gotcha. Yeah. 7 and 7 is okay. Like 2 yards, so it's also the length of the no the it's the length and the how do you say like when it's
wide the width
wide the width of the field yeah. is bigger. The field is kind is similar to American football, like football. It's like 80 yards of game field and 10 yards of each touchdown, so it's a 100 yards in the length, and the wide it's like 50 yards, so it's a lot different, like 25 yards to 50 yards, it's a lot that the rush could try to make right. the pressure.
Yeah. Is IFAB, though, like, is that the rule book that you prefer as an official?
Right now, yeah. Because I understand it so well because I have studied it to the most profound part. But there, I think that pitch is something that is good, like the between the forward pass, no, the backward pass. Mm-hmm. I think it makes it more dynamic and it doesn't yeah. it does give the other player the opportunity to keep playing, because if there's a forward pass that crosses the line of scrimmage, other players at the offense, they just have to be standing, you know? So I think that they lose this ability of this opportunity of being part of the game at that point. So yeah, I think it's something that I like of other rulebook. Also the forward progress. I think that the forward progress being the ball, it's not ideal in flag football because like you can't go to the ball, you can make a fumble by contact. So I think that the hips, that it's like where are the hips, where is where it has to be the forward progress.
Oh. Interesting. Huh. Yeah, I think I've heard that there are tournaments that if they know that like American teams are going to be playing in it, they allow pitches downfield.
Yeah.
Things like that. So
yeah, have you with a pitch?
Yeah. So as an official, is there like a certain position on the field that you prefer as far as like the R or on the line of scrimmage or downfield?
An assignment or the position, like being.
Like your mechanics, like your field positioning.
Okay, I think I like being in a four official mechanics at the center or as a referee. I like to be on the field because I have this background of being a quarterback, so I can see what the quarterback is watching, what the bleacher is doing, because that's like one of the main subjects, the interaction between the blitzer and the quarterback or the other passers. So yeah, I think on the field on a mechanics of 4-on-4, I think four officials. Sorry.
Yeah, I've heard like Lance, one of the other officials that comes on the show sometimes. He plays quarterback also, and he says that when he's at the R position, he can kind of tell what the quarterback's reads are. And so it helps him to be able to kind of know, he already knows where his eyes should be going. You notice the same thing with that quarterback experience?
Yeah, I noticed the same thing. And I think that it's a quality that gives us more experience, and it gives us more, I don't know how to say it, the opportunity to make a right call. Because we know where the play is going and we know what the quarterback is trying to do, what he or she is watching and what he or she is trying to do on the field. Like they have these situations where it's third down and the middle field to win, and maybe they are only 2 yards far from that line, so they are going to go deep. They are going to go deep. That's like the thing that most of them do. Also how they try to trick the other teams, the also the way that they are trying also now to treat the officials, you know, like they are making these faults to be more, I don't know how to say it, like they exaggerate the movements and the, oh, he contacted me and it's only an incidental contact. And it's interesting to watch that part.
Yeah, flopping.
Yeah, that's a term that I have been learning in the past few 2 months.
Yeah, and I have heard that I don't know if it's like being talked about as far as like the rule book committee, but I've heard as far as like coaches and players that play internationally, that coach internationally, they want to see a change in the administration of illegal contact. Because basically, if you flop, you could end up causing the offense to have like a 35-yard penalty since it's 10 yards from the line of scrimmage. So that's the advantage of a defender flopping, is they get that call and it, you know, it can change the game. So I've heard that players and coaches are like, you know, can we change this somehow so it's or start calling flopping, because I know in basketball – they do call flopping. So do you agree? Do you think that there should be a change in that rule?
Yeah, because I think I don't want to look like, yeah, I don't want to have some feelings hurt, but I think that it's going to be similar to soccer. So, like, they exaggerate the faults that happen on the field, and I have had called like unsportsmanlike conduct to that flopping. I think that we start calling flopping as a unsportsmanlike conduct because it's not fair the way that they are trying to sell the fault, you know. And that's what I'm trying to teach also, like, if you're going to win, if you're going to win the yard, to catch the pass, to intercept the pass, whatever you do, you're doing, do it in a clean way. Like the IFAB Black Football Rulebook also tells us, right, in a code of ethics tells us that you can't do that. Like, you can try to win an advantage, like being over the rules and trying to sell that thing. So that's what I'm trying to teach, and I'm trying to like work harder, train harder, do it better. And if the other player is winning, the other team is winning, it's for some reason. So you have to improve your game. You don't have to try to sell these fouls to be dirty about it. I think it's a sportsmanlike conduct that I hate, and I really don't like it. I don't like it at all.
Well, Mara, yeah. Let me tell you three quick things. Number one, on this show, we encourage feelings to get hurt, so don't hesitate.
Perfect.
Number two, Ant here he's become a trailblazer for calling it unsportsmanlike for somebody flopping. We had a tournament last year where a quarterback did that, trying to sell a roughing the passer call. The team, what ended up happening? They stopped running?
Okay.
They intercepted the ball, and when they heard that, because the quarterback screamed in pain.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
And the guy that intercepted the pass, he stopped running, so the play stopped.
So he called on a sportsmanlike on him for doing that. And the teams went berserk. And as the site director had to come over and try to sort it all out. And at first they said he called a flopping penalty. And I said, a flopping penalty? And so I talked to him. He explained what happened. I said, well, what you called makes sense. I said, it's unheard of. So I do agree. I do agree with what you said as far as, you know, it takes away from the game when players try to sell calls that shouldn't be called. I believe, and I've watched, you know, internationally, teams play a lot cleaner. When there's a foul, they all understand it. They're, for the most part, they recognize, they move forward with it. They don't try to, you know, get all worked up and get excited about it. Whereas, you know, here in the States, you know, people commit fouls and penalties, and it's, you know, they didn't do it. They, you know, if people don't commit fouls, people want fouls called. You know, we struggle, I think, I feel like a little bit more here just because of how readily available football is.
Yeah, I think actually what you're saying, it's something that I have also noticed, because I had the opportunity to officiate games of U.S. players. Yeah. And it's different the way that they see the game and the way that they see us as a referee. So I think that you need to find lawyer students that can help you to administrate games, because it's something that goes beyond on that way, because in Mexico, in Latin America, I have seen this thing of administrating games in this way of officiating human. I don't know if you have saw the officially human I think it's kind of the things that in Mexico and in other Latin American countries are trying to do, but it's a cultural thing. It's the way that the society works. You know, in the U.S. is completely different. I have had chance to travel to the U.S. To Disney and other things, and as a tourist, and I have watched this. This way that the U.S. people works out, like their brains and their way that you interact between all of you, and it's completely different, and it's harder. It's a struggle. I know that it is a struggle. I have struggled with many U.S. players about that subject in general, because it's a cultural thing. I think it's more than just a game. That's why my brand is Just Flag, because it's more than just flag. It's not just what happens on the game. It's not what the 40 minutes of the game, the hour that happens. It's not all the thing that involves the sport. It goes beyond. It goes to this part of the interaction, the people that you meet, the study that you have, and this way of watching the game, it's the same that you watch the life. It's the same way that you live your life. So if you're so passionate about it, maybe in your life it's like too much also. And I don't know, it's pretty interesting how U.S. have been managing things. They have great teams, but also their rules of USA flag, I think they are like completely different to IFA, starting from the contact and all of that kind of things that have the different type of game, like 4-on-4, 5-on-5, 6-on-6, that in the US it's still working out. Right now in Mexico and in other countries, they are just focusing on 5-on-5 IFAB. So the US is also pretty big, so they have so many different ways of working on the field and to be part of the game. So I know that it's a struggle. My respects to you to having these games, administrating in every way. And I really think that the lawyers can be a good asset to your team because you don't know what can happen over there.
You just got to be able to argue back with them. That's what I tell people all the time. You just got to be able to argue, be able to put them in their place. But I think a lot of it for in the States is, you know, as far as talking about just to get on a couple different points you did. You talk about how in Mexico it's just you guys, it's just fives, you know, and I think you have like you sprinkled in some sevens in there as well. But for us, you know, our attention span, you know, we've played, you know, fives forever, you know, so the attention span for that is much shorter. So we have the different formats and the different styles to try to get people to play more and to keep people engaged. and I think I think, you know, it's a simple thing here in the States as far as, you know, how people handle, you know, adversity. I think we take for granted a little bit sometimes, you know, how available and how often and how much we can play, whereas in other places, you know, it's not as readily available. I think, Mara, I'm not sure how many nights or how many days a week you're playing or officiating, but, you know, in most parts of the country here, you know, people can play every day if they want to. I know in Dallas, Texas, you can play four nights a week and then play Saturday and Sunday every weekend if you want. You know, there's a couple other places in the States where it's like that, but I'd imagine by you, it's probably a little bit less.
Yes, I think Mexico, it's starting like to have that kind of things also. Like,
okay,
also to Monday to Sunday, you can have games. But I think that. It's more complicated because it's more difficult. It improves and it gives you a better chance to practice like every day. But yeah. Also, it as an official, it gives you like more chance to have an error, you know, to make to have a bad call. Because if you manage too many types of rules, you can get confused if you're not pretty prepared to that. it happened to me. Yeah. But also in countries like I think Spain, for example, they have like all pretty to control. Like they play maybe 10 times a year. Like they have too little game, so that's how this process is going slowlier. Like the teams doesn't have the chance to improve in that because they're not playing at a difference like in Mexico and the US, and we have like too many. I don't know if amateur is an English word, like non-professional, but also like recreational,
amateur
could be, yeah. Amateur.
Yeah.
I think that amateur leagues gives amateur officials also, and it also brings us problem as a professional level, because when there is a thing that I have listened recently, that you can't officiate a game the way that you do it. You have to do it at the level that is required. If you're having it as a professional official, like you're too serious about it and you're like too focused on how things must be done, and you're going to a league that doesn't have that level, it's going to be frustrating for you, because if you're not prepared, you're going to have these things and these disagreements with the players, with coaches, and you have to adapt to the level that you're required to.
Yeah, it's an interesting perspective on that.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good point. I think, you know, I remember when I would I was kind of bouncing back and forth between like local leagues in California. That they don't, a lot of those teams don't travel outside of California. They don't, you know, play at a really, you know, high level. And then I would go to a tournament in another part of the country, and it was like, you know, so high level and, you know, professional and all that. And then I would go back and I would be throwing flags on everything on these rec players in the local league. And I'm like, oh, okay, I got to dial it down a little bit.
Yeah. I have to adjust this.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So just before we wrap up, I know there's so much going on in international play, and it's been exciting. The LFA, I know you officiated at the first one, and they had their second one this past weekend. What do you think, you know, from your opinion, what does the LFA like bring to the future of flag football in Mexico?
I think the LFA, it's one of the many projects that are running right now in Mexico that have a lot of future because they are working with the federation, you know, so it gives them a better chance to involve the Mexico's players, like the selection of the players that play also on the selected teams, and it gives it more viewing, you know, like I don't know how to say that part, that people are starting to talk about it more than they did in the past days. So yeah, I think it's a good project. I think they are trying to learn the black football, because as the way that the NFL over there is involving black football as a way to involve children and women into the sport, it's kind of the same over here in Mexico. It's we have a lot of things to work out and to try to be better at, but I think it's a good idea, it's a good project, and I think, and I'm going to like try to my best part to be involved on that, to bring my experience, my ideas, because I know that I'm a creative person that I can give also a new perspective of the things that the way that they are being doing right now, maybe a different way of doing them. And it's just trying to improve in every level and give everyone a chance to be better, not only on the sport, but in the human part, like be an integral person and integrity. I don't know. I have to practice more my English. Yeah, like be a whole, you know, it's not only cool as they are as players, as they are as a human being. It's not important. Also, it's not that important as who are the officials as an official. If they are doing a good job, great. But they also have to be a whole good person, you know, like a person of good to the society and in general, you know. So that's like the part that I'm trying to work at, and I'm having a lot of people that are following these steps and all the projects that we are working on. It's like a path towards that, and LFA, coming back to that point, it's a good project. I think it's a good project.
Yeah. Jacob, any last questions you have for Mara?
Yeah, Mara, so you were talking about you went to Disney World. What was your favorite snack when you were at Disney?
I don't remember if... I don't know, right? I think like... lollipops or something like that with chocolate.
Chocolate, big fan of chocolate. I like it. I got it. Right. What was your favorite ride at Disney?
I think it was it was also in Universal. the Harry Potter ride, the dragon, in the dragon, in the bank, I think.
With Hagrid, the motor cars?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I like that. All right. So last question. All right. So we're going to stick with Harry Potter. Which house would you be in if you were going to Hogwarts?
I think Gryffindor.
Okay. Good answer. Yeah. All right.
Gryffindor. Okay. And I just have one final question, because I have to take this opportunity, because I know who I think is going to win at the World Games this year.
Here we go.
But Mara, who do you think are going to win the men's and the women's World Games this year?
The men's, I think it's going to be tricky. It's going to be – no, but the men's is not in the World Games. It's in the continental play, right? Because – men's World Games, it's not going to happen, right?
In China?
In China, it's only women's, right?
No, it's supposed to be men's and women's, from what I understood.
Yeah. I think it's only women.
Really?
We have to work on that, yeah.
News draw.
What happened to the men?
That's the thing. That's the thing that I'm not going to go further on that, but I think that... men's are trying to I don't know, like the NFL and LFA, they are professional leagues of football, you know? So I think what they're trying to do is to give this way a path, like men's football, women's flag football. I think that's the way that they are trying to do things. And that's why this year on the World Games, men's flag football is not going to be part of it. But in Panama, the continental part of the IFAB thing, yeah, there is a men's flag football team, men's flag football championship in the continental part in Panama this year, or America, and the women's also. But yeah, for the World Games, in China, it's only going to be the women.
Wow.
So,
Mara, have you ever heard the phrase spilling the beans?
I think it's...
You just spilled a big old can of beans.
Maybe. Yeah.
Wow.
But I think...
I mean, no, go ahead.
In the continental, I think Mexico, U.S., it's going to be also, again, I think they're going to be... the two finals, but I don't know. It's like Canada. If Canada is going to the continental part, I think I haven't seen them. I don't remember them at in the men's tournament. But on the women's side, I think they did a good job. I just think they have to make some adjustments to the way they have been playing. Also, they just came back from not participating on this kind of tournament. So it's going to be interesting how they have been working. And I don't know, maybe they can. There can be a few. Oh, also Panama in the men's part, because Chino Orozco, Iván Orozco, the quarterback of Mexico's last world tournament, is going to be the coach on the men's team of Panama. So I think the way that he sees the game, it's going to be interesting on that part. But I don't know why he selected to coach a men's team, because he has been doing a great job on the women's teams. Like, he has been the champion on the LFA twice. So, and also with his Project Bulldogs, his team, it's a thing that is blown everyone's mind in this part. So it's going to be interesting how he's going to manage the Panama's team on the men's side. And I don't know, I think there's going to be like a lot to talk about flag football this year, because there are a lot to watch over there.
Yeah, absolutely. So where are you headed? Where's your next big tournament?
My next big tournament is over here in Mexico, in Guadalajara, Jalisco, is where I live. And it's with a league where I work. They are working with the association that is working with the federation. So I think it's a good proposal to bring the greatest talent to over here to Jalisco. And I'm going to make at my best to improve on the officiating part, and to bring also the best part of Mexico to this tournament. And yeah, I'm working out on the coordination part, like being administrating officials, not games. I'm trying to be involved in that part, like teaching the officials and also preparing them for the games, and make sure that they are comfortable, that they have the things that they need to work and to do it right.
It's the best job in the world.
Yeah, I know you got it, Jacob.
That's awesome. Well, Mara, I want to give you the opportunity to just plug your brand and all that you're doing. So the floor is yours.
Thank you for, well, if you're watching, follow me at La Ref Mara with double F in Instagram, La Ref Mara MX in TikTok, and Just Flag Football MX in Instagram and TikTok. These are my projects, and I'm trying my best over here, and I think that we're making good changes. And thank you for the invitation, and it's an honor to be able to talk to you a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. And thank you so much for all you're doing to help grow the game of flag football. Mara, we'll see you soon.
Absolutely. Thank you, Mara.
Thank you. See you soon.
See ya.
I don't even know what to say. I'm like,
we gotta get her to the States, man. We gotta get her here.
Yeah, no, for sure.
That's all it needs to be said.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, you know who you need to talk to.
I know. I'll figure it out.
There's an issue in Washington D.C.
Oh,
that guy.
I need to talk to Dr. Orange. Listen, okay. I see great officials. We're gonna bring great officials from all over the world. I don't care where they come from. We're gonna bring them up from Mexico, but then when they're done, we're gonna send them right back. No, I would love if we can make it work to have Mara come up. That would be fantastic.
Yeah,
I think that'd be one of the best things ever.
No, for sure. It's cool to just kind of hear the scene of Mexico and the different stuff they have going on with the Federation and how involved all of that is and everything. So, yeah. I think ultimately there's probably anywhere you go, there's a lot of similar, stuff going on as far as flag football stuff.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. So anyway, anything else you want to talk about, Jacob?
No, man. You know, this weekend I'm getting ready to kick off and wrap up all in one day. We got Campbell City took a little bit of a different twist this year, thanks to the five teams that are supporting us still. You know, I know some folks that were going to support us and paid, and when we laid out our plan with the lack of teams we had, that just didn't make sense for their team to do it, and completely understand that. But for the ones that did stick through with us, I really appreciated it. Actions speak louder than words, and I hear that. So I really appreciate them. But yeah, we're gonna have a 1 day tournament. The guys are gonna come out and play for the day. We're gonna do it on Jordan's birthday. The logo up here. But we're gonna have a great time, and then we're gonna take you a couple weeks, and then we're gonna get ready to go to Vegas.
Yes, sir. Yep. So, I'm booked and ready to go to Vegas, and I feel like it's gonna be 3 days of a lot of. A lot of good competition, a lot of flag football. I know that there's a little pressure off for some of the big players. I think, they haven't played so much since Tampa. So from what it sounds like, a lot of big names will be in Vegas as well. Who knows what that's going to, look like as far as the pro division, because, there was like a transfer portal and teams, changing names and all of that after Tampa. So we'll see what it looks like in Vegas. I know next week we're going to talk all about it and kind of prepare for it. So that being said, man, where do you find a good old Clocks Running podcast?
Well, you can find Clocks Running everywhere you need to go. We're on IG. We're on Facepage. We're on Facebook. We're on Linktree. If you listen to your podcast on Spotify or Apple Music, you can get us there. Anywhere you listen to a podcast, we're on there. We're on the TikTok, or TikTok as the kids call it. We're there. We're everywhere. Check us out. Like, subscribe, share. You want some dope merch like the sweet hoodie Ant's wearing? You can get one of those. If you want a chill ref shirt because you're just a chill ref, hit us up. We got those too. I'm not wearing that because I'm repping college basketball tonight because – we're staying up all night to watch that. but to the point, check us out. The support means everything. Thank you guys so much. We can't say it enough. We're 9 episodes into this new season, and I've been having a ball every week. I hope you guys have enjoyed it. And anything else before we wrap it up, send it on out?
I think you said it all, man. This was a fun one. Shout out to our international officials. We, you know, we know time zones and all of that can mess with us a little bit. Me, mess with me.
Who knows time zones?
I
not you.
Yeah, not me. This is hey, give me some credit because this is now the third different time zone I've lived in the last 5 years. So
hey, you know, that's a real you issue, not a real me issue.
Oh man, but seriously though, I'm so thankful for the international officials that we've started to build relationships, not just through this show, but through tournaments. Come check out USA Flag Tournaments. Like, we want you guys to come experience it. Yes, there are 38 different formats that you'll have to learn the rules for, but it's a challenge. It's exciting. You switch between fours and sixes contact, and you know, it just messes with you a little bit, but it all works out in the end.
All right, so let me pump the brakes here because I'm not going to do that to you like Ant says so. You're not going to go from fours to six contact. I wouldn't do that to our international friends who are used to doing things a specific way. But seriously, like at USA Flag, we have one of the best fellowships as far as officials goes. I know, you know, there's other organizations that have, you know, that officials interchange with, and that's great. Independent contractors can absolutely do that, perfectly entitled to it. I encourage it. Go work as much as you can. But I still think we have a great environment for a great fellowship. We have a great time with working as hard as we do. So please, if you ever are interested, ever have any questions, hit this page up, because worst case, if I don't answer it, Ant will get you in touch with me and we'll get you squared away to come work one of our tournaments. So thank you so much.
Yeah, sounds good, man. Well, enjoy that tournament this weekend, and I'll see you next week.
Sounds good. Be good. Appreciate it, everybody. Have a good night.